You will speak to the hearts of those on the line, Lord God, through your servant in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah and amen. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for calling in, those who are on the line listening to this broadcast. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast. I am your host, Minister Sir Ryan Davis, now on the here on the Now Network, and we're just going to move into the word on today and bless you and be out of your way and dismiss you to continue your day. But may the Spirit of God, may the presence of God linger wherever you may be. You may be working right now. You may be fixing your dinner, or you may just be sitting on your couch or in your car. You may be in your prayer closet. Wherever you are, I dare you to just open your mouth and speak to the atmosphere and say these words. Speak and say, God will get the glory anyhow. Hallelujah. God will get the glory anyhow. God is going to get the glory. Praise the name of the Lord on today. So on last week, the Lord gave me a message concerning the man Joshua and his leadership as God transitioned from Moses to Joshua. And he transitioned the people of Israel because he was doing something different. He was showing us revelation. Nothing God does is haphazard or without thought. God, the word of God says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God has made this day long before this day existed, meaning he knew you would be here before you existed. He's not an afterthought, God. He's already calculated everything that you could ever think, every decision you could ever make, every choice that you would be presented with to make a decision. God has already counted the cost. He's already seen and foreseen all things. He knows the number of hairs upon your head. So God does nothing haphazardly, but God does many things that we will get revelation of who he is. Hallelujah. So we thank him on today that we will see him in clarity. Hallelujah. So on last week, we spoke out of the book of Joshua, chapter 3. I'm going to recap a little bit of that and move into what the Lord is wanting me to deliver today. But this message may get mixed up and moved around depending on however the Holy Spirit wants to mix it up and move it around, because he knows what needs to be heard and what needs are on the line. He knows what needs to be said and who's listening, and I'm just going to flow with it. Hallelujah today. Hallelujah. So last week we spoke about Joshua giving commandment to the people how to cross Jordan. God told him in Joshua chapter 1, he says, my servant Moses is dead. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. But then he tells the people, he tells Joshua, he says that I will be with him as I was also, he says to Joshua, I will be with you as I was with Moses. So God transitions power from one place to another, but his purpose never changed. His plan never changed. God had a plan to preserve the people of Israel for the promises made to Abraham long before Israel was a nation. Hallelujah. God is a God of foresight, because he's a God that watches over his word to perform it. He's a God that does all things calls all things to work for our good according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Because he's a God of purpose, and he knows what he wants to do. It's not your purpose that's so important, or my purpose, or that's so important, but it's God's purpose. We are only here to serve and fulfill his purpose. Hallelujah. So we bless the name of the Lord on today. Hallelujah. In Joshua chapter 3, he gave them some specific instructions. Y'all bear with me just a moment. Having a little trouble with my Bible app, so I'm going to have to pull out the Bible pages here and thumb through them. Hallelujah. So God tells the people through Joshua, he gives them specific instructions how to cross Jordan. And what the revelation in all that was on last week was this: the humility will go before you, but the presence of God will go before you as well. When we humble ourselves, then we will see the presence of God in demonstration. Hallelujah. And the song that was played at the beginning is talking about in God's presence. This is where we must bask, and this is where we must dwell, is in his presence, because we can do nothing without his presence. I don't care how gifted you are, how much word you know. I don't care how well they speak of you. It doesn't. None of those things matter. What matters is his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we bless the name of the Lord on today. Thank you, Jesus. Joshua chapter 3, he talks to them and tells them, the priesthood, he tells them, I'm just going to give a recap. He tells them to go and stand on the brink of Jordan. He tells them to go first, and he tells them to take the Ark of the Covenant with them. We know the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God, because anywhere the Ark went, the presence of God showed up. You couldn't touch the Ark of the Covenant with your hands. You had to carry it on poles. Understand something about this. They had poles that they carried the Ark on, and they would put it on a cart, and then they would carry it. Okay, but you couldn't even touch it because it represents the holiness of God also. And not only the presence of God, but the holiness of God, which is a representation of the law. The law of God is holy. You can't come up to what it says. Nobody's holy enough to live it all the way through. No, the law brought a curse to you because nobody was holy enough to be as holy as God is. The law, you know, you couldn't touch it. You couldn't, it was holy. It would destroy you. But God is already letting us know that he was going to give us mercy. He was going to give us grace. He put the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. So Joshua tells the priests to go first. He says, step into the Jordan, or the brink of the Jordan, and stand still. He told the people to stand still as the Jordan was rising. During that time of harvest, the Jordan River was rising, which is a symbol of how trouble in our life seems to be rising. And sometimes God will tell you to stand right there in it. Humble yourself, but I'm going to be with you. I recall the writings in Psalms says that God is a very present help in the time of trouble in Psalms chapter 46. He says he's a present help in the time of trouble. I've never seen in the word where it says God is a present help or anything present in the good times, in the times where you are going into your promised land, and in the time where everything seems to be going right. In fact, God gives a warning about the promised land, and he warns them about the other gods that are already in that land, and he tells them, don't you make a covenant with the people of the land. Don't you partake in worshiping their gods. Y'all pray for me right now, because my having a little trouble pulling up all these scriptures I highlighted in my Bible app. It keeps shutting off. We know the enemy don't want this word out, but we bind him right now in the name of Jesus, and God is going to feed the lambs on today. Hallelujah. Just bear with me a moment here. Even if I don't find it to read it word for word, I know what God has already deposited in what he said. So y'all just bear with me a little bit, because I like to read this that you will hear the word along with it. Hallelujah. And you can go back and study these things. So God begins to talk to the people through Joshua and give warning about the land they're going to enter into. But in last week's message, we were talking about the humility. God sends the priesthood first. That means if you are called to be first, then you got to be the first partaker of not only the good, but the first partaker of the trouble. He told them to go and stand in the Jordan. But then God did something miraculous. God caused the waters of the Jordan to cut off. He caused the waters that were flowing down to stop. He caused gravity to stop. The gravity that's pulling the river, to the current of the river. See, when Moses split the Red Sea, it was one thing. That's a flat body of water, okay? But when you cut off a river that's flowing from a high place, the water slowing down, gravity and everything's pulling on that. It was more than just the east wind. It was the presence of God. It was the power of God. What God is saying is that as we begin to humble ourselves in humility, basking in his presence, then he will begin to release miracles for the people of God. And that you may look like you last because you're the first one in and you got to wait to see everybody cross over. But God, if you stay faithful to God, he'll stay faithful to you. Hallelujah. So I'm going to get into this word for today as he instructs and directs me. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way. We bless you on today. So God began to talk to the people in Deuteronomy even before they got to this point. He begins to talk to the people in Deuteronomy, letting them know some things. He tells them about the land that he's going to bring them to. Deuteronomy chapter 8, God begins to talk to the people of Israel. Give me a moment here to pull this up. He says in chapter 8, around about verse 9, he's explaining the type of land. He says, it's a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. That means you're going to have plenty. The manna will cease. There's a time where God will honor his word and his promises, and you will have plenty. He says, you will eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. So this land is a land of prosperity. He says, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. He's giving them permission. He's saying, you can dig brass. There's so much good in that land. There's a place God will bring you to of prosperity. God will do it. He says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Verse 11 says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So what he's saying is beware. He gives a stern warning of what you don't want to do. He's saying don't forget. God wants to get the glory out of this thing. So he begins to talk to them about the land that he's sending them to. He begins to prepare them and tell them how good of a land it is. Hallelujah. But God tells him, don't you forget. Don't you forget. In the very next chapter, Deuteronomy 9, chapter 1, he says, hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day. Last week, we talked about crossing over. That was the word for the New Year's revival. That was the word that was reiterated last Sunday, was the crossover. This is what he was talking about, crossing over Jordan. Hallelujah. God had already gave him commandment in Deuteronomy. He says, hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. He's saying, look, I'm sending you on the other side to possess great things that are greater than you. In other words, you can't do this without me. You can't do this in your own strength. He's going to tell us this. Watch this now. What God has for you, what God is going to release in 2017 for some of us, hallelujah, it's going to be greater than you. It's going to be bigger than you. It's going to be something you know nobody but the hand of God can produce it. Hallelujah. And he said, all I want you to do is bless me. Give me the glory. Hallelujah. But in that, don't you forget who done this for you. Watch this. And he tells them, these cities are great cities fenced up to heaven. You know Jericho had a great wall. It was fenced up that nobody could get out, nobody could get in. We're going to deal with Jericho in a minute. He says in verse 2, he says, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Those were the giants that they saw in the land, in the promised land. He said, look, you know what's there. The enemies are already there. The wicked folks are already prospering. They're already walking in this. They already got the good of the land. They're already enjoying the things that God is promised to his people. And he's saying, look, God's going to go and do something for you. Watch this. Verse 3 says, understand, therefore, this day. Please understand this, people of God. He says, understand, therefore, this day. Mark your calendar. Write this down today. That the Lord thy God, which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. In other words, God's going to deal with your enemy, but you still got to drive them out. Hallelujah. But he wants you to know that I'm doing it. All you got to do is show up. Hallelujah. Some blessings, all you got to do is walk into it. Hallelujah. Some things, all you got to do is when God say go, you say yes, Lord, and you move. Hallelujah. When he say go, you say yes, Lord, and you move on it. Hallelujah. He says the Lord is going to go as a consuming fire. He's going to melt the hearts of your enemies. Watch this. Now, sometimes, don't nobody get this twisted. Let me make this clear. Sometimes when the Lord's talking about melting the hearts of your enemies or consuming your enemies, he ain't talking about that person you got an issue with. If that's what your mindset is, then you're not mature enough to even receive what he's saying on today. No, when he's talking about your enemies, a lot of your number one enemy is the skin you in. When I talked about those different ites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Hivites, and the Arvakites, and all those ites of the Bible, when you study that, you find out what God is really saying. He's something about our flesh that can't enter in to the promised places of God. Hallelujah. It's something about our will, our way, our own fleshly mindset, our own humanity, our sinful nature that God says crucify it. Those are the things that he wants to get out of the way, because those things stop you from entering into your promised land, because they want to enter in with you, but they can't. They can't go. Hallelujah. So we're not talking about God killing folks. We're not talking about God destroying that person because you don't like them. No, that's something God wants to deliver you from. Hallelujah. But there's a wickedness that always tries to stop you. Maybe it's operating through other people. It might be a stronghold, a way of life, a way of thinking, or certain type of mentality that a certain people may carry, and God wants to defend you from that. Hallelujah. He will go before you and make the way possible. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says the Lord God will drive them out before you, but then he tells you to go in and to take the land. Verse 4 says, speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee. So God's saying, you go show up and do it, but it's really me doing it. This is how we got to understand how God operates. He'll tell you to show up to do it. Just like this right here. I'm preaching this message, but really it's not me. You got to come to hear from God. If you come to hear from me, you're going to be disappointed because I don't know nothing. But the Lord thy God, he knows what he wants to say to a people on today. Hallelujah. You got to come with your cups ready. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, he says, speak not in thy heart after that the Lord God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess the land, this land. He said, don't think it's because of your righteousness. Whatever you're going to get in 2017, yes, God requires us to be holy. Yes, he requires us to live a lifestyle of uprightness and to do the right thing and to be just. He does. He's a God of holiness and purity. But he said, don't think because you're so good that this is why you're going to get what you're going to get. Okay? Because ain't none of us can stand before a holy God and say that we are righteous. Because, you know, hey, Isaiah was a prophet prophesying, but when he saw God, he said, woe is me, I'm unclean, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. Who was he dwelling around? He was around kings and prophets. So he said, look, all of us, when we see the Lord as he really is, we see that we are not as we thought we were. Hallelujah. So he said, don't think for your righteousness the Lord did this. But then he says, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. So God was telling Israel, because your enemies are worse, they don't know God, they don't have God, they were worse off because they don't have God, they did not believe. Some things God is going to bless you with because you are a believer. Hallelujah. You believe in Jesus as your Lord, so you qualify for the covenant of grace and truth. Hallelujah. You qualify for the benefits that are connected to this covenant, but they are so the work of the ministry will be done. They are so, you will preach this gospel to every creature before he returns, because he doesn't want to see anybody lost. Everybody got to get a chance. Hallelujah. Watch this. We're in a season of extreme evangelism. I feel the Spirit of God moving on that. Hallelujah. That we are in a season of evangelism. Some of us listening now, it is a time to really buckle down and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it I should do? How do you want me to evangelize? What is my sphere of influence? Where are you sending me? God's not sending everybody to the pulpit. He's not putting everybody on the radio. But we have to know where he's going to utilize us for his glory, because God's going to get the glory anyhow. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, not for your righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess the land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Some promises were gone out before we got here, but God is a God that says, even though they gone and y'all are the descendants, I'm still faithful to my word. Ain't God so good that he will make a promise to somebody that's done died and left and went to heaven, and yet God is still working on earth to deal with what he said he was going to do for them. That's how faithful the word of God is. That's how powerful his promises are. Hallelujah. He said, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. God told Israel the truth to their face. He said, look, you ain't getting this for your righteousness, because y'all are really stiff-necked. He said to us today, don't get beside yourself. You know we're not all that. We can all find some fault in ourselves if we be honest. Hallelujah. So God is saying, look, it ain't because of you. It's because of my promises. Hallelujah. God's promises are so powerful. Hallelujah, that Jesus had to come through the promises that God made, but he watches over his word to perform it. We thank God that Jesus came and did what he did for our souls. Now watch this. I'm going to get out of Deuteronomy, and then I'm going to get into to Joshua. So we know Joshua had him cross over the Jericho. He had him cross over the Jordan. He had him cross over the Jordan in chapter 3. Joshua had him cross over. The priesthood is following what God is saying through the man of God, through the servant Joshua now. Moses is dead. He's gone. Moses represents the law. Moses represents the ministry of the law. But Joshua, although he's under the law, because Christ had not been revealed yet, he's a type and shadow of Jesus. The name Joshua and the name Jesus are synonymous. They mean the same thing. They are basically the same word in certain languages, okay, in the original language. The name Joshua means the Lord my salvation. We needed a savior. Hallelujah. So Moses could only take you so far. He took them out of Egypt. See, the law is enough to make you want to quit sinning. The law tell you you wrong. You ain't holy. You need to quit. You need to repent. That, you know, John the Baptist was born under the law. He comes and he preaches repentance, but yet he can't give the people eternal life. John preaches repentance, but Jesus has to come after that. Hallelujah. So Jesus comes and he brings about grace and truth. He brings about grace and truth because we cannot handle the truth without the grace of God. Hallelujah. Without the grace of God. The Bible says to grow in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior. He says grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to have grace to receive the knowledge because he's holy. And the knowledge of his holiness, we can't handle it without his grace. When you realize just how holy God is, you can't handle it without his grace. He has to bring about a purging. Hallelujah. He has to bring about a purging. I believe that's what the word was last week, the purging for purpose, because God's purpose will be fulfilled through God's promises. Hallelujah. But God's got to purge some things. God had to purge the people out of the land that the people of Israel would occupy the promised land. When we know those that did not believe God did not enter into the promised land. But we are going to declare on today that we're going to believe God and God is going to get the glory anyhow. Watch this. Joshua chapter 5. After God has caused them to cross over the Jordan. The Bible says in Joshua 5, around about verse 12, it says, "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. They had entered in to the land God had promised them. They had entered in to a good land. God is a God of his promises. There's a time where you will leave the manna. You will leave the land of just enough. You will go into a time and a place where God's promises are fulfilled, but they're for his purpose." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joshua begins to teach the people and lead the people, and they enter into the land. They enter into the land following his instructions, and they begin to eat the good of the land. There's a time where God will bring you into the fulfillment of his promises. I believe 2017 is the year of fulfillment of promises. I wanted to touch on this a little bit last week, and I didn't get all the way into it, but 2017 is a unique year. It's a prime year. It's a year that if we hear God's instruction, if we get before the Lord, if we lay before the Lord, hallelujah, somebody's getting activated right now. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, for the gift of prophecy being activated, Lord God, in somebody's life. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 2017 is going to be a year where we will see the miraculous. Hallelujah. We will see the unheard of or the unusual. The unusual, but this is a year where many things have been held up. The Jordan River was held up. The water stopped, but there's a time where everything was going to begin to flow again. Hallelujah. When we cross over, when we enter into the new, this is our crossover. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord today. Bless the name of the Lord. A couple more scriptures I want to read about, and then I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to be before you long today. So God had told the people, he says, look, I'm going before you. I'm driving out the inhabitants of the lands, the giants, all the different ites, the Hivites and the Arvakites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and all the different ites that came from they all started with Cain, okay? They come from they all start with the spirit that was released in the earth when Cain decided to make his choice to choose sin over choosing God's way. But I'm not going to go into that today. But you can find out about those different ites all the way back in Genesis 11, 10 and 11. Okay, chapter 10 and chapter 11, you find out where all them people came from. But they had different gods and they had different type of spirits about them. And those were the people that yet had the good land. So you can see how sometimes you look around and you see the wicked prosper. And if you've ever trusted God, then you've had to sit back and watch wicked people prosper. If you've ever trusted God, and if you've never seen the wicked prosper and it never bothered you, it's probably because you are the prosperous wicked one. But if you have trusted God and you've had to do without and you've had to love God and show God that you were totally committed to him, even if it meant being without or just eating the manna and just being just enough, and you've suffered long, and yet you see those who have no worries, but yet they don't serve God like you do, and yet they don't lay out before God. They don't have a consecrated life. They're not wholly set apart people. They don't even serve your God. They serve different gods, and yet they at ease, and they seem like they're just prosperous, and life is good for them. And well, those are the prosperous wicked people. Those are the people that are inhabiting the land. But God is saying, get prepared and get ready to enter into your promises, but you got to do things his way. You got to take heed to his warning. You can't go in your own righteousness, in your own strength. Let me show you something here. Joshua, I'm not going to read it, but Joshua chapter 6, we're under the new leadership now. We've left Moses, we've left the law, and now we're entering into grace and truth. Hallelujah. See, John chapter 1, verse 17, it says, Moses gave the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This is why I always stress this, because that is the dynamics of the covenant that we are under. It's not just grace. You hear these preachers, grace, grace, grace. No, baby. There's truth. We got to have the truth. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth is the one that cuts you free from the bondage of the lies. The lies, the misconstrued understanding of the truth of the scripture will keep you bound up all day long under the old way of doing things, the old Moses way, the old law way, the falsehood. It'll keep you bound in the flesh. It'll keep you bound to the covenants of the old when God's trying to bring you into the new covenant. He said this is a new and living way. Hallelujah. He wants you to live. Hallelujah. He wants you to live in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Somebody caught that right now. Hallelujah. You got that revelation in your spirit and it's turning over. Bless God for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch this. Jesus gives us grace and truth, but he's compared to Moses because Moses gave the law. The law was the revelation of God. It came from God, but it wasn't the fullness. It was the shadow of things to come. God's shadow means God was present, but that ain't him. Hallelujah. In my shadow, you can see my shadow up before me. You know, your shadow sometimes looks taller than you are, so people can see the shadow and know you there, but that's not you. Hallelujah. It's an indication that you close by. Hallelujah. So when you get the real thing, when Jesus is made known unto you, when you begin to exalt Jesus, hallelujah, then now we come out of Moses. We come out of the old oracles of the old understanding, the old revelations, and we come into the new. See, the old paves the way for the new. So we're not going to knock the old, but we're not going to stay in the old. You can keep talking about an old move of God. Oh, how it happened on Azusa Street, or how it happened back in 1906, and how they had it over in Germany, and how the moves of God in the church when we used to walk in the presence fell. But baby, we got to find out how to get the presence of God down in our belly. We got to find out how to get the presence of God in our living rooms, in our schools, in our children, when we're driving down the street, in our marriages, in our homes, in our business. We got to learn how to have the move of God where we are the move of God now. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing that Moses came and he split the Red Sea. It's a wonderful thing that he did that. But Moses, my servant, is dead, is what he told the people. It's what he told Joshua in chapter 1. He says, look, as I was with him, I'll be with you. So now we've got to know that every generation got to have a knowledge of God. Hallelujah. And every generation got to know who King Jesus is. Hallelujah. And we've got to transition from the old now into the now. Hallelujah. Watch this. So God raises up Joshua. He's leading Israel. He's hearing from God. And the thing about Joshua, he respected Moses. He learned of God by being connected to Moses. So this is not a diss to Moses. This is not, oh, well, we didn't need. No, we needed Moses in his time. But when Joshua's time came forth, Joshua led him into the promised land. Moses can get you out of Egypt. He can get you into the wilderness. He can point you to the promised land. But Joshua got to get you to enter in to eat the good of the land. The manna ceased in Joshua's day. Hallelujah. We bless God for the Joshua generation because God's going to get the glory anyhow. Hallelujah. Moses is dead, but God's going to get the glory anyhow. Hallelujah. There's a new move on the horizon, but God's going to get the glory anyhow. Watch this now. I'm almost through, believe it or not. So Joshua's leading the people. God had already told him, he says, I'm going to take down nations before you. I'm going to go before them as a consuming fire. Hallelujah. And if you read that in Joshua chapter 5, somewhere in there, it says that the hearts of the people were melted before the children of Israel. The people's hearts were melted. The people's hearts were melted because of the children of Israel, but it was really not the children of Israel. It was their God. But what I love about God is he'll tell you, this ain't about you. You are stiff-necked people. You know this ain't about you. This ain't about your righteousness. He'll tell you that, but then he'll tell your enemies, fear them. He'll tell your enemies, leave my children alone. Israel is the best nation on the planet of earth. God will bless you in the face of your enemies. He'll tell you about yourself in your face. You ain't that righteous. You're a stiff-necked, rebellious people. He'll tell you about yourself, but then he'll tell everybody else to respect you. Ain't he a mighty God? This is how we've got to be. We can't be trying to put each other on blast and make each other look bad. God will make you look good. He'll tell you the truth about yourself, but he'll make you look good in the face of your enemies because they don't know God anyhow. But God's going to get the glory anyhow. Watch this. So Joshua's leading the people. He's leading the nation. We get to the wall of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, and God gives them instructions. He gives them instructions. He don't want them to trust in themselves. He wants them to know, I got you. But all you got to do is show up. So we know the story. I'm not going to read it word for word. But God says, he tells the people, he says, look, go in there and don't say nothing for 7 days. 6 days, excuse me. Walk around the city. But on the seventh day, I want you to make a mighty shout. A mighty shout. Just scream out loud. Dance. Buck. You know, let the trumpets blow. Have a good time in praising me because I'm going to do this thing. Watch this now. When you read that, the first part of Joshua chapter 6, it says, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. Now, we know it's really because of their God, but yet God had caused the nations to fear Israel. They even told him that in the 4th and 5th chapter of Joshua. They said that we fear because we heard what you have done, but really it wasn't them. God allowed their enemies to think, hey, we don't want to mess with Israel, but he let them know, you better give me the glory. Watch this. It says they were shut up because of Israel. They were shut up. The enemy is afraid. He's got things closed off and shut up and shut in. And the Bible says that none went out and none came in. They had a big, thick wall around the city. Nothing was moving. Nobody could get in. Nobody could get out because of Israel. These people built this big old wall. They said that the wall of Jericho was so thick that you could get two chariots, like a two-lane highway on the top of it. That's a thick wall. That's like the Great Wall of China, but thicker. That big, tall wall around this city, it was shut up. It was impenetrable defense, or wall of defense. Sometimes the enemy has such a great defense that can't nobody do nothing with it but God. But watch this. God tells the people through Joshua. He gives them good instruction. He gave them instruction how to get over the Jordan and into the land. Now he's showing them how to take down nations because God is with him. Hallelujah. God is with him. And he gives them instructions. He gives them instructions, and the instruction is, don't you say a word. Sometimes it's not your word that's going to get this next blessing. Some blessings it ain't going to be because of, oh, I spoke it, and I named it and claimed it. Sometimes it's just going to be a shout of praise unto your God. Are you ready to lift and exalt the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Yes, there's times where God will cause you to make a decree, and the thing shall be. Hallelujah. But then there's a time of God will tell you, shut your mouth. God, that's how he talked to me. The Holy Ghost will tell you, shut your mouth. Don't say a word. you can win this fight without saying nothing. Just hit your knees and pray, and pray silently sometimes. God will tell you to not use words. He'll tell you don't make a sound. Sometimes he'll tell you don't even lift up a praise. And then at the end of it, give him a shout. Hallelujah. God gave them the instructions to be quiet for 6 days. Walk around that wall. Hallelujah. Six is the number of flesh. So, in other words, I don't need to hear nothing from the flesh for 6 whole days. But on day number 7, you enter God's rest. Hallelujah. On the 7th day, he said, look, because you know you've done entered my rest, shout unto me. And the Bible says that the walls came down. The walls came down and it collapsed. Now, it wasn't their shout caused the wall to fall. Watch this. It wasn't their shout. It was their God. Hallelujah. It was their obedience. But it was God that moved that wall. They didn't have the strength to take that wall down. The Bible says none came out and none went in. That's how shut up this wall was. This is how the enemy had this thing. There's some strongholds you can't do nothing with. I don't care who you are. You can be apostle. You can be bishop. You can be evangelist. You can be the elect lady. You can be, the prophet. You can be any one of those titles or anything. You can have anointing all the way to your toenails. But there's some things you ain't strong enough to deal with, but your God is. Hallelujah. And this is what we've got to understand. Hallelujah. Romans 16 and 20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It's God that will put him there. He belongs under our feet. We got the victory, but the Bible says God will put him in his place. And this is where we have to get our focus on God. We have to receive instruction from God. We have to now be a Joshua generation. Now, Joshua, it represents Jesus. That's what he represents. He takes him to the promised land. What does Jesus do? He brings us to the promised land. See, the law can tell you you don't know God, or the law can tell you you ain't good enough, and you got to do it this way, and you got to do it that way. You ain't this, you ain't that. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. You know, the law will do that. It'll bring forth death. It'll bring forth curses if you don't live it to a T. The law will do that. But then Jesus comes and says, I'll give you truth, but I'll give you grace also. And he tells the people, he says, look, where I am, there you may be also. That's the promised land. He says that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The promised land. He makes a promise of heaven. He makes a promise of eternal dwelling with him and the Father through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Through us being born again, the newness of life. There's that new and living way. And it's when? It's now. Hallelujah. He says that if you believe, he says the hour cometh and now is that the true worshipers, watch this, shall worship the Father when? Where? In spirit and in truth. How? In spirit and in truth. So he's saying eternal life is right now. So the promised land is already ours for the asking. It's in Christ. Now watch this. He said, pray for the will of heaven to be done on earth. Now guess what? Ain't nobody sick in heaven, y'all. Nobody is crazy in heaven, y'all. The devil don't have no authority in heaven, y'all. He's been cast down. There's no poverty in heaven, y'all. Catch what I'm saying? So the promised land. David said, I would have fainted, except I expected to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We are in the land of the living. We're in it right now. So there's things we can experience right now. Yes, this world is still falling. Yes, there's still sin, sickness, disease, and devils. All those things exist in this world. But he yet said, pray for the will of the kingdom that is done in heaven to be done on earth. So he's saying you can have some of that promised land where? Here on earth. But it's in his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name on today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your instruction, Lord God, that you're going to get the glory. We're going to learn, Lord God, to do things your way, Lord God. If it means to be silent and allow you to move on hearts, Lord, we will be silent. If you say shut down the broadcast next week, Lord God, that somebody will be able to just be blessed because the Holy Spirit is now moving, then we'll do it, Lord God. Whatever your instructions are, Lord God, we want to reap the benefits of following you, Lord God. We thank you that the name of Jesus is to be exalted. Hallelujah. And it is exalted here. And we bless you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you right now for the newness of life. We thank you, Lord, that for the testimonies that are coming forth. We thank you, Lord God, that somebody is being activated, Lord God, in new things, in new places, Lord God, and that you are ushering in a strong wind of evangelism, and you're giving us, Lord God,
Do you know the best way to get results? And we don't praise him because we want results. We praise him because he's good. And his mercy endureth forever. And I praise him because in the time that I should have been cut off. See, I know some of y'all been good all your little life. But that ain't my testimony. But when I should have been cut off, he had mercy. Now, if I'm talking to one of y'all out there, I want you to know, I